This is an ENN special report. Now reporting.
It's Damer and DePietro and Kyle Higashiyoshi.
ENN's at 6.
When the clock struck 6, it meant one thing.
You know when you go to a diner and you can sit up by the flat top? What is that called?
The counter?
Counter?
Yeah, the counter.
Now, from the ESPN New York News Desk, here's
Rick DePietro.
I've done what I came to done.
Well done, Anthony. Well done, Anthony.
That's an open, baby.
That's a beautiful open. This is ENN, brought to you by Deep Eddy Vodka. Please day drink responsibly. Before we get to the news, I got a Woj bomb. Ooh. To start off ENN. Let's say good evening to Dave.
Keeping your head above water.
It gets better and better every time.
It never gets old, does it?
Never gets old. Yeah. Let's say good evening to Christopher Canny.
Synchronized swinging.
Be honest, Chris. Did you mean to say synchronized swinging?
We know where Candy's going on his honeymoon.
That's the beauty
honeymoon.
Of it. I did not, yeah. But that's the beauty of it.
Yeah, it's going to hedonism on the honeymoon.
Hedonism.
Yeah, that's right. They booked it for a month.
I had a buddy who went to hedonism by himself just because. Just decided I'm going to go.
I think that's genius.
He said it was crazy. He said he woke up just naked on the side of a hot tub after the first night. And I have to do it. I told Anthony and Andrew, this is like my favorite clip of all time. I'm going to say good evening to Don.
All right, how about that? Uh-oh.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, my God.
I can't get enough of that. All right, let's get started. We're filling in for the guys. I'm Rick DePietro, like you heard, or Rick DePietro. That "and" was terrific. Filling in for Peter Rosenberg today. Hope the guys are doing well on their vacation.
You pronounced your name wrong.
I understand that. I got caught in a moment there. I'm used to saying DePietro, Canty, and Rothenberg. I try to get cute, and I screwed up. That's fine.
Damer and DePietro. And?
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 All right, let's start with this. Woj bomb. Here we go. Dallas Mavericks superstar Luka Doncic has agreed to sign, ready for it, a 5-year, $207 million Supermax rookie extension. $207 million extension.
That is some deal, huh?
That is some
huge
deal.
I got to tell you, he's worth it.
Deal.
He's worth it.
That NBA
I mean, he's one of the best players in the NBA.
Level,
yeah. Oof. He's a phenomenal player. I don't want to steal your spotlight, and you're going to do a great job, and I have no doubt of that. I have an update on Gleyber Torres. Do you have that in ENN?
No, give it to me. I'd like you to participate. Give me some.
Aaron Boone, this is from the great Marley Rivera of ESPN, of course. Aaron Boone says Gleyber Torres is going to see a specialist. As of right now, it's a L thumb sprain. Boone, quote, "The initial thought is 10 to 20 days, but realistically we'll have a better idea in the next couple of days." Boone says they were expecting the worst, actually, but got better news.
It's not what you want to see.
That's the update
what you want.
On Gleyber.
No.
And he's been good since the All-Star break, too.
Very good.
Yeah, that's a big loss. That's a huge loss, actually.
They're a mess.
Especially now with no
right
Rizzo.
Now.
Yeah, they got all sorts of issues. Well, I mean, listen, but they're finding a way to get
earlier.
It done.
How many injured or COVID guys have been placed on the list since the All-Star break for the Yankees? What do you think?
Since the break? Well, yeah, I mean, are we counting they had that six right at the break,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I'm going to say a dozen, Dave.
I'll say
Rick?
10.
15.
15. Wow.
15 since
wow.
The break.
Wow. It's a lot.
A lot of guys.
That's a big number.
That's what I do. Provide information.
All right, let's
go.
I mean,
go ahead.
Take a step back. I appreciate that. Thanks for the participation. Well done. Let's get to, you've been trying to bury this the entire time because you just want to talk Jets. Get me all nervous about Zach Wilson and a green-white scrimmage. Stop yourself. Your Giants got issues too, but I'll give you some good news.
Okay.
Saquon Barkley was on the field practicing in a limited capacity Monday for the first time since the ACL, which happened in week 2. Team has taken him off the PUP list. They're saying we're going to take it slow with Saquon Barkley. Let's hear Saquon after practice, how he's feeling on his return.
Feels good to just be back out there playing football. The most fun part, I would say, is just being back out there with your teammates. So, obviously, this is the next step in my rehab process. And just thankful to be able to go back out there and play football again with my teammates and get to practice the sport I love.
So my question to both of you is this. All things go well through the rest of training camp. I would imagine we're probably not going to see him in any preseason.
There's zero chance
to
see him in the preseason.
No shot.
Zero chance. Do you think we see him week 1?
I do.
Yes. Yeah.
Even with the short week.
Week 1.
I do.
Yeah.
I will go this far. I will be surprised if you don't see Saquon in week one.
Yeah, see, I wouldn't be surprised at all if we don't see him in week one.
No, just because we're in week one.
No, just because week two is on a short week.
Yeah, but if he's healthy, he's healthy.
Yeah, but it's 17 games. I don't know. I'm just they keep saying they're adamant about making sure they take it slow with him. The last thing he wants to do is come back too soon where he re-injures himself. Still talking about a guy that's waiting to get paid. I don't know. Listen, hopefully for the sake of you and Giants fans everywhere, you're right, and he's back week one. I just the way they feel like they're approaching this is maybe more towards let's get the first through the first couple weeks, and then we'll have him start in week three.
Maybe. I got to tell you, though, because week two is terrifying, right? Short week at Washington Thursday
yes.
night. I mean, if you don't win week one, you're staring 0-2 in
then
the
you have
face.
To win week one.
Yeah.
So, Canty's already calling that a must win. Canty's already called it a must win. You have to win that first game.
Yeah. You got to do that.
I think he's right.
Yeah, I think, yeah, they got to beat the Denver Broncos. They have to, especially with what Denver's got going on at quarterback. God forbid Teddy Bridgewater or Drew Lock comes here and outshines Daniel Jones.
Oh, God.
I mean, that'd be terrible in terms of setting the tone for his season. But with Saquon Barkley, man, like today's point, I mean, if he's healthy, he's healthy. It would have been a calendar year you're talking about since he's getting back on the field with week one with their season opener. I just feel like, you know, with everything that we've heard and everything that he said in terms of how he's responded to his rehab, it just feels like we're trending toward him being in the starting lineup. And I'll take that as a Giants fan because you know how big of a season
of
this is, not only for him, but for that offense and for the team as a whole. So, yeah, I think Saquon starts week one. Dave, I think I'm right there with you. I'd be surprised if he doesn't.
Because, I mean, when you look at the schedule after that, I think it's, what, Falcons week three, and then
yep.
You go to the Saints, and that'll be a full dome, and then it's to the Cowboys, and then I think the Rams, and, I mean, at the Chiefs on a Monday night, like, there's no easy schedule here. So,
there's no soft spot to land for Saquon in terms of when you're going to put him out there. But, I mean, if he's healthy.
The Falcons would be the softest, though. I mean, week three would be the softest. Especially
it would
coming
be,
in
but you can't afford. I mean, if you're 0-2 through 2 weeks, you're the Giants, you're on the verge
get
of
it.
Done.
Yeah,
listen, I understand it. You're not wrong, especially with what's going on in these practices and everything else. Like, Chris says it all the time. Like, if you're going to coach the way that Joe Judge coaches and be as hard on your players as Joe Judge is, you got to have some wins to show for it. So you're not wrong. But I'm just saying, like, it feels like a lot of the talk surrounding Saquon and this knee is that they're going to do their best to try to ease him in. And I don't know if, you know, having him play week one and then all of a sudden turn around on short rest going up against that defense is easing him in.
But can you really ease in a running back in today's NFL? Is there easing him in? I mean, if he's healthy enough to be out there and to be practicing and getting thudded up by teammates, then, I mean, it feels like, you know, a month from now he should be able to play in an NFL game.
No, listen,
or,
I don't.
Or five weeks away.
I get
five
what you guys are
away.
Saying.
If
but
he
let's
can't
not, I mean,
play, that would be disappointing, I think.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think what would be even more disappointing is if he does come back and gets. I mean, he hasn't stayed healthy the last couple years.
Well, that would be tragic.
That would be tragic. So, I mean, it's an important year for Giants, but it's also an important year for Saquon Barkley, the individual. Because, again, I mean, part of the reason you don't draft a running back with a second overall pick is there's not a lot of longevity at the position.
Still
guy is trying
no
to get
sense.
Paid.
It still makes no
especially
sense.
Especially after what you see Josh Allen doing. It makes
oh
no sense.
Ugh.
Did
or you
Quentin
see that
Nelson.
Contract? Oh, $258 million.
I'll never forget when I was doing nights with Allen before leading up to that draft, we were going back and forth and – we're actually both of us were watching a lot of Josh Allen, and we actually had one of his teammates call in to tell us what a good guy and a leader that Josh Allen mm-hmm. was. And he was adamant. He's like, "I'm telling you, this is the guy. He's who you want to draft."
Those were the glory then, days with Alan Hahn, right?
Well, no, not just with the glory.
The ones
it was the
that
first.
He talks about
the
all the
ones
time
that got
when
mentioned in the Athletic
Dave.
Article, right?
Yeah,
yeah.
Well, he does have my name tattooed on his body.
So,
I mean, that's pretty impressive stuff.
So, it if I get your name armpit. Tattooed on my body, then what? Then I get front row billing? I mean, is that how it works?
It depends on where. I don't want to. I mean, it's got to be in the right spot. Lower back would be nice. My face right in your lower back.
Mm-hmm. You'd love that, wouldn't you?
Oh, I would love every second of that. All right, here we go. Let's move along.
Yeah, please.
So the Olympics have wrapped up. The United States has won the most total medals, 113, for the seventh consecutive Summer Olympics. Also had the most gold medals. They had 39 gold medals. That's the most for the third consecutive Summer Olympics. U.S. men's basketball got it done. Kevin Durant became Team USA's all-time leading scorer at the Olympics. He became the first U.S. player to ever average 20 points per game for an Olympics and joined Carmelo Anthony as a three-time gold medalist in men's basketball. He had the teammates for club and country, Drew Holiday and Chris Middleton, became the second pair of teammates, fellas, to win an NBA title and gold medal in the same year. Who are the other two to do that?
Pair of teammates to win a gold medal
and an NBA championship in the same
year. That's a nice
question.
It's a great question.
Don't think too hard. This should not be that difficult.
Is it
Jordan? Well,
Jordan and Pippen?
Jordan and Pippen is correct, yeah. In 1992. Mm-hmm. Michael Jordan and Scottie Pippen. And it was touch and go there for a minute. I mean, there were a lot of the pundits and everything else. Talking about USA basketball, you had a couple, losses early in exhibition. Didn't look great, but again, I mean, this is some of the best basketball players on the planet. And some of these players, so they don't listen to what the media has to say about them, but obviously that's not the case. Draymond Green and Kevin Durant, they couldn't wait to take shots at Kendrick Perkins after they won the gold medal, and let's hear some of that.
Everybody who said we were going to take the L, they had some power rankings on.
Kendrick Perkins, you talk a lot of shit. Act like you America.
They had some power rankings out. They had us fourth behind Slovenia.
Like this not our game.
Come on, man. Talking about they catching up to us. Like, are you serious? This skill is unmatched. You dig? Shout out to everybody that won this gold. Everybody that chipped in and helped out. We're going to the press conference, but I had to talk my real quick.
He hears everything, huh? KD hears everything.
Can I say something?
You can say whatever you want.
Listen, they won the gold medal. They're the best team. I think if you had the Olympics every week, they'd probably win 51 weeks a year. But to say that other countries around the world are not catching up to us is just fallacy. I mean, in 92, they won every game by 30, 40 points. These other teams are much more competitive with what we have to offer than they used to be. Why is there anything wrong with that?
Well, no, I mean, you just get the chest puffed out. I mean, listen,
why can't we be honest about that? Like, the other teams have closed the gap.
Yeah, I'm going to listen. I mean, between France, Australia, I mean, Luka Doncic just finally lost with Slovenia. Mm-hmm. That's amazing what he does with that team. Yeah, I mean, they're getting better. I don't necessarily know. Like, as good as that team was, that's not the best representation of what we have to offer in USA basketball either.
No. We had guys on that team that probably, let's be fair, shouldn't be on that team.
No, you're right. I mean, not our best players showed up, but still, I mean, it's still a hell of a team. And the fact that Drew Holiday and Chris Middleton and Book decided that after the NBA Finals, they were going to, fly all the way over there to participate. I think that's great.
Yep,
that's great for them. And they won, and those gold medals are great, by the way. Those are good-looking gold medals. A lot of the Olympians saying those are some of the best gold medals.
Does the gold medal look bad though?
Although they're all different. The gold medal?
Yes, the country that holds the Olympics is responsible for making the medal. Yes.
Okay.
And these were particularly nice because they were really thick. If you notice, like when they're biting on them, like they're really thick. So it's they're really nice gold medals. I wouldn't know. I mean, my Can-Am medal.
Where did you guys place when you were in the Olympics?
My Can-Am medal from Lake Placid was nice, but it wasn't. I mean, that was my last championship.
Where did you guys place?
We lost in the quarters to Finland. Yeah. One of the worst losses of mine. I was a wreck for weeks and weeks and weeks after that.
Really?
Yeah, but that was, dude. I mean,
were you bad in that
USA
game?
Hockey. No, I wasn't. It wasn't that I was bad, but I grew up in USA hockey. Like, I played in the U.S. I mean, the U.S. program was the reason why I went to BU. Like, that was my stepping stone to getting to play hockey as a career. Mm. And I always wanted to play in the Olympics, and I played world championships, all those different things, under-18s, world juniors. And then, all of a sudden, to be on a team with, I actually looked at the jersey yesterday. I was going through some memorabilia. It was Modano and Chelios and Tkachuk. Wow. I mean, you name it. Guys I grew up like Drury.
Should you have won that game against the Finns? Were you the better team?
I think we're probably right there.
Was Solani on that team?
Was Timo on that team? I think he might have been, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Finland was good. Sweden was good. Canada,
who won gold?
That year, did Sweden win? Was that the year Sweden won the gold? That might have been the year Sweden won the gold. I choose not to remember much of that.
Right, once
that
you guys
loss.
Went out. You, all right.
Yeah, I was
move along. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to bring up painful memories.
No, no. That's fine. No, we're all about sharing.
Okay.
Sharing is caring, Dave.
Oh, it's
Milo
accurate.
Tells me that every day. Sharing is caring, Dad.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
All right, here we go. I hope you guys saw this video. I'm going to give you the audio, but I hope you saw the video. Dodgers win, but that's not really the story here. Yep. Fan runs onto the field. Mm-hmm. We're seeing a lot of that. Like fans
happened in the Mets game the other night, yeah.
Dude, yeah, just acting up. Maybe just excited to be at games or whatever. Avoid security. If you see the video, there's like four security guards running after this guy, and this guy can move pretty good. One person, he's not going to get by.
No.
And that's the ball girl. Let's hear how it sounded. Yeah, she gets in his way and actually flips. So he's running from short center to right field,
and she's running the right, well, like he had running, a full well. Steam ahead. Yeah.
Oh yeah, and like the security guards are looking to tap out. Like they're like, oh, I can't run after this guy no more. And as he gets to where that right field ball girl is standing, which is like mm-hmm. right as you get to the wall, that short wall, she jumps in front of him and flips him. He flips right over the wall, and then they get him.
Wow.
That's
she
well done.
A Jack Tatum almost.
Oh, well
it
done.
It was a phenomenal tackle. Good on her.
Beautiful form tackle.
Yeah, great nice. Form. He went head over heels. I think the ball was jarred loose also. It was very well done by her, yes.
So forced fumble as well. Okay.
Forced fumble as well, yes.
See, and this is why you're the best in the business. Not number one, but you're number three on Don's list. This is
That's
why
fine.
Pound for pound, top five.
You like
because
that
Because you
little
lead
analogy?
Me into – yeah, I loved it because you lead yeah. me right into my next story, which is the ESPN preseason FPI. So we went through some of the list. I'll give you the top. You guys guess. Give me the top three most likely to win the Super Bowl. Give me the top three best
Chiefs
chance.
Kansas
yep.
City and Tampa.
Those are the two. Give me the last
Buffalo.
One.
Buffalo.
Is it Buffalo?
Buffalo was correct.
Yeah.
And Canty didn't want to go Buffalo, but he's going to go Buffalo. He's going to go the Buffalo
not
Bills.
The Buffalo Bills. All right. I'm going to go with the Buffalo Bills.
Yes.
I knew this was going to be a part of
yes.
the show. At some point this
yes.
week, I knew that drop was going to surface. It was going to come back. Had
not
to.
As good. I will say this. Not as good as the swinging, but pretty damn close.
Synchronized
pretty,
swinging?
Pretty damn synchronized swinging. Oh, that should be an event. We could petition.
Oh, you would be all over it.
I watched some rhythmic gymnastics.
No, I don't swing. I'm not into that. Rhythmic gymnastics is my – I love that, too. Synchronized swimming. This will make you feel good, though, Jape. Dave, the chances for the Giants, New York Giants reaching the playoffs. They are 24th with a 23.7% chance of making the playoffs.
Well, didn't we just discuss this?
Yeah, I'm just letting people know. We got new listeners all the time. We just discussed it, but people want to – Jets and Giants fans just tuning in to ENN want to know what the percent chances are.
All right, what's the Jets' percentage?
They're 30th at 8.6%. Not what you want. Thank you, Kayster. I do have the Kayster bracelet on. You guys can see here on yes.
Yeah, we see.
I
it's
love
great.
K.
You're very proud of that.
Every kiss begins with K.
What's the matter
Don't be
with
jealous.
You? Let's
Don't
stop
be jealous.
It. I'm not jealous. I'm. It's awkward. It's uncomfortable. It's
All
unnecessary.
Right. Some sad news. Oh. Some sad news. Bobby Bowden dies at 91. Said he was at peace. There was actually one of the better quotes. He had a quote. I was watching this the other day. They were doing some stuff on Bobby Bowden. He said, "Your reputation is what people say about you. Your character is what God knows about you." And from all the people, the coaches under him, his players, they all loved him. He was an unbelievable coach. May he rest in peace. But it was a sad story.
It is a sad story. The only thing I'll say is, I mean, he made it to 91. He had a full, long life. He has a great family, and the legacy lives on. But, yeah, it is. I mean, the end is always sad.
Those Bobby Bowden coach teams in the late 90s and 2000s, they were hell, Dave. I mean, in the ACC, they dominated the conference. I remember playing against those teams. They just had so much talent. They were so tough to play against. Like, I mean, that was the one thing that I'll take away from Bobby Bowden's legacy as the head coach at Florida State. Like, he always had really tough teams that were hard to beat. Like, I mean, that's a loss for the college football world. I mean, it's just – he was a giant, Dave.
Well, I mean, here, just to put it in so people know, 34 seasons with the Seminoles, he was 315-98-4. He went 14 straight seasons finishing in the top five of the AP poll.
I saw that. That, to me, is the most remarkable statistic of all of the things he's accomplished.
No, it's amazing. It's and that team was not good when he took it over.
No.
No, at all. I mean, he put that team so, I mean.
Where'd it come from? Where was the school he was at before Florida State?
I don't know.
West Virginia? Yeah,
you're just trying to,
there you
you're
go.
Just, you're trying
That's
to
right.
Yourself.
Look at Canty.
Yeah.
He knows.
Canty, no, he went to Virginia.
So, well, why would he know? Because West
He's
Virginia well-versed. And Virginia are
oh, yeah. I know more than I want to about Bobby Bowden and the Florida State Seminoles. More than I want to.
He's very familiar with Virginia. Moving along.
You have
so
two
Chris
minutes,
mentioned,
by the way. Two
how
minutes.
Many?
2 minutes.
Two?
I'm not even on the video.
Well, yeah. He said I got to 25. All right, this last story. Here we go. Okay. Dave wanted me in a nervous. Is this the guy?
Oh,
so,
my God.
Zach Wilson struggled. Number two overall pick. Two interceptions, led the starting offense to only 3 points and seven possessions. First-team defense, though, Dave. First-team defense. Completed 11 of 24 for 112 yards in the two-hour session. No live tackling, simulated game. Listen, no big deal in my opinion, but let's hear what the head coach had to say about Zach Wilson.
It's his first time in front of the fans. I mean, it was a good crowd out there, and you know, to have the coaches off the field where he's got to go through the process of play in and play out, his coordinators in the box, his quarterback coaches on the sideline, and there's no one to turn to talk to. So to have that first experience right here, and to be able to go through it all, these moments are priceless for him. You know, he had some good moments, and obviously he had some rookie moments. So it was good. It's going to be a lot of tape to learn off of for him.
He knows he wasn't good. You heard him after the game. He knew he wasn't good. That's the hardest thing to do, especially in that moment, second overall pick. He knows the pressure. He knows what it means to, you know, to him and to the team, trying to get yourself not to do too much. He'll learn that. It's the first step. Let's all relax, take a deep breath, and just keep your fingers crossed that this is the guy.
See, you're talking yourself into a nervous frenzy here is what you're doing.
Well, no, because I'm nervous because I trust Kyle Shanahan. So the fact that he took Trey Lance makes me believe that, you know, Trey Lance is going to be good, and that's a great team, good situation. Mm-hmm. And then from every report, the one guy was Justin Fields. So, and there we go. That's ENN.
Oh,
it's brought to you by Deep Eddy Vodka. Deep Eddy Vodka is 10 times distilled and made in small batches. Taste the difference for yourself. Please day drink responsibly.
Oh, that's beautiful. I mean, 4.5 hours. It came and it went. We were spectacular, to be honest with you. So let's do it again tomorrow. Same bat time, same bat channel. 2 o'clock. The DCR takeover on the K Show continues. Enjoy your night. We'll see what the Yankees are able to do. It's DCR with you right here on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoons starting at 2 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.